إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in this, which is the 31st lecture in our series, dealing with character and manners in the Sunnah from Bulugh Maram, the last chapter, Kitab al-Jami', this bab al-Zuhud wal-Wara'. And this hadith is in our series. It's the 32nd hadith. The hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ta'isa abdu al-dinar wal-dirham wal-qatifa in u'atiya رضي وإن لم يعطى لم يرضى أخرجه البخاري. This hadith is narrated from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, who said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, wretched or destroyed is the slave, the abd, abd al-dinar, the slave of the dinar, gold coin. And the dinar is a gold coin. And the dirham, a silver coin. And the qatifa, plush cloth. If such a one is given, and he given anything of the worldly pleasures, he is pleased with Allah. But if he is not given from these things that he desires, then he is displeased with Allah. And it is reported by Al-Bukhari. This hadith clearly indicates that one becomes a slave to the dunya due to his devoting his life to seeking it. And if the person whose life is devoted to seeking the dunya, the things of this world, becomes a slave to the world. And the Prophet ﷺ announced, or rather made dua. This is a dua. Ta'isa abdu al-dinar wal-dirham wal-qatifa. This hadith, inshallah, we'll discuss this evening. But before we discuss the hadith, I'd like to look at last week, yani at the discussion from last week, the questions from lecture number 30 from last week. Just 5 questions, inshallah. If you have written the answers, it will be helpful so that we can go through this quickly. This is meant to be a review and a reminder. A review and a reminder for those who attended, and if you were not here, inshallah, who get some benefit, inshallah. Type question number 1. What are the 3 great matters which Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, mentioned for the islah, reformation and cultivation of the heart? What are the 3 great matters which Sheikh Salih Fawzan mentioned in reference to Islah al-Qulub? Does anybody remember? One. What is one?
Acts of obedience.
Okay. He said that, no doubt, that that's part of it, acts of obedience. Naam. But more specifically, he said that there are 3 specific things, particular, that are the most important things for the reformation, the mending, the correction, the rectification, the purification of the heart. Naam. Ad-du'a. The first and most important of them is du'a. And he mentioned some evidences related to this. He mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yukthiru, yani he used to make a lot of du'a, with particularly certain supplications related to the heart. Second of them, related to du'a. He said the second of them is what? Anybody remember? Naam. Al-ibtiyad and akl al-haram. That a person should stay far removed from eating, consuming that which is haram. Because what a person eats affects their heart, affects their body, affects their mind, affects their soul. So that the person who eats that which is good, it will benefit him. And from the evidence that he mentioned concerning this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا الصَّالِحَةِ. That all messengers eat from that which is طَيِّب, the good, the halal, the lawful, the wholesome food, وَعْمَلْ صَالِحَةِ, and do good deeds. Meaning that the eating of that which is good and wholesome and طَيِّب is an encouragement or an aid or an assistant to doing that which is good. It goes together. Eating good means that you do good. Eating haram means you will do haram. And to the end of what he mentioned concerning it. And the third of them? That's not what he mentioned, but of course that's the subject of the hadith, of the whole hadith. But he mentioned, that is in reference to, yani, the general meaning of the hadith. But he mentioned three specific things that a person should do. One of them is dua. And the second of them is related to dua. Meaning a person's dua is not accepted if he's consuming that which is haram. If we remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about the man who's traveling, and he's disheveled, and he's raising his hand and saying, Ya Rabb. And all of this are the things that are the reasons or the cause of a person's dua being accepted. But yet, the Prophet ﷺ said, but his aql, aqlu haram, wa shirabu haram, wa libasu haram. So if he's eating haram, and consuming haram, and drinking haram, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ. How can his dua be accepted? So the Shaykh is mentioning this, avoiding that which is haram, eating that which is haram, because this will prevent your dua from being accepted. And the third thing that he mentioned is the second most important matter after dua, and that is al-ikfar min al-dhikr, dhikrullah. Yani frequently making the dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah, praising and glorifying Allah. A person should remember Allah as much as possible. As much as possible. Naam. Al-du'a, al-dhikr wa al-du'a. And avoiding, consuming that which is haram. Constantly remain in the remembrance of Allah. This is the best of that can be, what can be done for the heart. Question number two. Mention one of the supplications of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the heart. And we sent it out to you, so you don't even have to, if you didn't write it last week or whatever, alhamdulillah. Naam. نعم اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. O Allah, the one who turns the hearts, make our hearts firm upon your deen. And in another hadith from Abdullah ibn Amr, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اللهم مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. O Allah, the one who turns the heart, صرف القلوب, the one who مصرف القلوب, turn our hearts upon, to be upon what? طاعتك, obedience to you. And in Surah Ali Imran, we mentioned last week, the dua that Allah gave us in the Quran, Surah Ali Imran, the beginning of the surah, I think it's the 8th ayah, huh? ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وحب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Oh, our Lord, do not cause our hearts to go astray after you have guided us. Meaning that if a person has been guided, doesn't mean he's going to remain upon guidance. Rather, you have to ask and beg Allah so that if you appreciate this, maybe Allah will let you keep it. Question number three. Mention the supplication of the Prophet Ibrahim a.s. for protection from falling into shirk. Anybody remember the supplication of the Prophet Ibrahim? It's in Surah to Ibrahim. Naam. 1435. Naam.
Right.
What does it say?
O my Lord.
O my Lord.
Make this city.
Mecca.
One of peace. Security, and keep me and my sons away from worship and idols.
Naam. Make this city, Mecca, one of peace and security. And keep me and my sons away from worshipping the idols. Rabb.
الذين آمنوا وتعاملوا قلوبهم بذكر الله على ذكر الله.
We didn't reach that yet. The supplication of Ibrahim. رب اجعل هذا البلد آمنا وجنبني وبنية أن نعبد الأصنام. This is really also, this supplication is supplication of Ibrahim. A person can say it. But it's really to teach us that if Ibrahim, alayhi salam, the great prophet of Tawheed, The Prophet who established Tawheed, who is known for Tawheed, if he, the one who was persecuted and thrown in the fire for cracking the idols, for breaking them up, if he feared that perhaps he could fall into that, and he called upon Allah, then how much more do we need to call upon Allah? Question number four. Mention an ayah from the Quran which indicates the effect of dhikrullah upon the hearts. Naam. An ayah from the Quran that mentions the effect of the remembrance of Allah upon the hearts. Naam. Naam. What is it, ya Abu Bakr?
Those who say in English and then in
Naam.
Those who believe in their hearts, and their hearts find rest, peace and tranquility, is the remembrance of Allah. Isn't it also that the remembrance of Allah, the person finds peace and tranquility?
Naam. That in the remembrance of Allah, a person finds peace, tranquility and rest. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَعِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Isn't it so that in the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find rest, peace, tranquility, in the remembrance of Allah? If a person is having some trouble in their life and they're not at peace, then the way to achieve peace is by the remembrance of Allah.
I look for the Arabic in that, the way I found
it. Now, mashallah. Now.
I can read it now.
Okay, now. You can read it now, because now you're saying Arabic. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. That's important for us. That's important that we can read in Arabic. Last question. Mention three main causes that lead to ishtibah, doubt, about the ruling of a certain matter. Can you mention the three? There are three main causes that the Shaykh mentioned. Shaykh Abdullah Ibn Salih Ali Bassam. Naam. Mention one of them. Okay, the apparent contradiction of the evidences. That's in reference to the scholars, the mujtahid scholars who seek the ruling concerning a matter from the evidences. They go straight to the evidences. And the evidences may appear to be contradictory, and he can't find a way to make reconciliation between them. Okay? So, that means the matter remains unclear. It's not very clear. So this is one of the causes. The what? Apparent contradiction between the evidences, the adilla from the Quran and the Sunnah. And the second of them? The what? Okay, the apparent contradiction between the sayings of the scholars, the views of the scholars. Yani, which, when the evidences are going in different directions, then the scholars also, depending on which evidence they follow, may seem like they're saying something different. So it becomes unclear to a person what is the correct ruling concerning this. And the last of the matters, important matters, as Sheikh mentioned.
When there's a weak idea, narrated to this matter.
Naam. When there's a weak hadith that has been reported concerning the prohibition of a matter, for example. So a person becomes in doubt about that thing. Is it actually prohibited or what? But the hadith is da'if. So that leaves the matter unclear. The hadith is sahih, khalas. There's no problem at that. We know that it's prohibited. And the Shaykh mentioned a couple other points, but those are the main ones. Na'am. Just quickly, if I could take another minute or two or three. Last week, I said that there were some points that we didn't have a chance to mention, and they are lengthy. The Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentioned maybe 20 more pages of his commentary on Jami' Ulum al-Hikam by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah. He made commentary on the commentary of Ibn Rajab. Like Ibn Rajab is making a point and Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen is commenting on it. And there was one point that I thought was particularly of significance related to our topic that I think is of benefit. And it's an issue that there is lack of clarity about. And people are unsure. And people are going one way and other people are going the other way. And some of the scholars are saying one thing, other scholars are saying something else. And the evidence looks like it's going this way and other evidence is going this way. And it's a matter that we're dealing with all the time. That people are confronted with all the time. And it's good that at least we take some clarity from the comment of the Shaykh about this. Because a lot of the confusion that people are in is because they've misunderstood what the Shaykh has said concerning this. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. So I want to read to you something that he said concerning the ruling concerning the meat of animals that come from the non-Muslims. Well, first the Shaykh said, in reference to Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, in his commentary concerning this hadith that we finished last week, he said concerning that which we don't know what is the original ruling concerning, whether something, somebody owns something or not. Like there are some things we know the original ruling is that it's haram, or the original ruling is that it's halal, or the original ruling is whatever. But there are some things we don't know what's the original ruling. So he said, for example, the Prophet ﷺ found a date in his house one night, and he picked it up, and he was going to eat it, and he thought that maybe it's from the sadaqah. So it became doubtful. He doesn't know, is it really his or not his? So he left it. Okay? Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said concerning this, هَذَا مِنْ تَمَامَ الْوَرَعَ وَلَا شَكَّ فِيهِ, that this is complete and perfect wara, that a person leaves something that's doubtful, leave it, even though he found it in his own house. And there's no doubt about this. No doubt about what? That this is wara. Because even though he doesn't know if it's his, but it's in his house so he can eat it. It's permissible for him to eat it. But that's wara, that a person is not sure. Is this something I'm entitled to? Even though it's in my house, maybe it's from sadaqah. And the Prophet and his family is not allowed to take from sadaqah. So the Prophet, the Shaykh said, this is complete and perfect wara. That a person stay far removed from the mushtabihat, doubtful matters. Especially, khususan fil aql wa shurb. Especially in what? In what they eat and drink. Especially. Generally in everything, but especially in what you eat and drink. A person should be careful. What are you eating? Are you sure about this? If you're not sure, leave it. If you're not sure, you eat, leave it. Because it, perhaps it will be the cause for your dua that you make all day and night, it will not be answered. Let me finish, just briefly, to complete this comment or this thought. The Shaykh says, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he says, as for what the original ruling concerning is hover, that is something prohibited, that you're not entitled to. The original ruling concerning this matter is that it's prohibited. Like having sexual relations with a woman, or the meat, the flesh of animals. The original ruling concerning these things is that it's prohibited, unless you have a clear permission concerning that particular matter. The original ruling, before anything else, is prohibited. It is not, فَلَا يَحِلُّ إِلَّا بِيَقِينِ حِلِّهِ مِنَ التَّذْكِيَةِ أَوَ الْعَقَدِ فَلَا يَحِلُّ. These two matters are from the matters that is not lawful for a person to partake from that, إِلَّا بِيَقِينِ حِلِّهِ, except that he's certain, absolutely certain that it's permissible. You're not absolutely certain? Leave it. Because the original ruling concerning these matters, that's haram. And how are you certain? At-tadhkiya. That is, that it has been slaughtered. Meaning the animal, the throat has been cut and the blood is drained. And al-aqd, in the other case, the woman, they have a correct, valid marriage contract. Outside of that, leave that matter alone. Now the point I want to make here is that there's a difference between tasmiyah and tadhkiya. Or tazkiya. In one case, the tasmiyah means that a person must what? Mention tasmiyah. Must mention the name of Allah when he slaughters an animal. In the other case is that the animal has to be actually slaughtered. Meaning it can't be bust over the head, strangled, drowned or something. It has to be slaughtered. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, this is Al-Imam, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali is saying this, that you can't participate from this thing except that you are certain about its permissibility. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says, as far as that, the origin or the original rule concerning a matter is that it's prohibited. For example, in sexual relations, a man is in doubt about a woman. Does he have a valid contract, a marriage contract, that allows him to be with that woman? Or not. So what is the original ruling? Al-mana, that is prohibited. If he's not sure, it's prohibited. It's not a thing that you could, I think, probably, maybe, looks like, perhaps, no. You have to be certain. Until he becomes certain. Until what? Hatta natayakkan annahu istabaha hadha al-farj bi'aqdin sahih. Until he becomes certain that he has made lawful having relations with that woman by a contract, a marriage contract that's valid. If there's any doubt about it, he has to leave her alone. Stay away from that woman. Like, similar to the man who was married to a woman with a valid contract, and then somebody came and told him that I suckled you and that lady. That means that's your suckling sister. It's haram for you to be married to her. And the man said, I don't believe she knows what she's talking about. And the Prophet said, كَيْفَ وَقَدْ قِيلَ. How can you stay with this woman after it has been said? The doubt is now there. You're not sure, but maybe she don't know what she's saying. But once that has been said, there's certainly doubt about this matter. This is not a matter you can play with. This is not something that you look twice and think about it again. Maybe let's look into the matter. The Shaykh said, وَكَذَلِكَ اللَّحْمُ. And likewise, the same thing is in reference to the flesh. The original ruling concerning is التحريم. That is haram. The flesh of animals is haram. لَيْسَ الْحَيَوَانِ. I'm not talking about the animals. The original ruling concerning animals is that they are lawful. ولكن اللحم الأصل فيه التحريم حتى نعلم أنه ذكي على وجه شرعي. He said, I'm not talking about the animals. Animals are originally lawful. But as far as the flesh of an animal that people eat, the original ruling concerning this is that it's forbidden until we know that it has been slaughtered in the way that the Sharia requires. على وجه شرعي. Until we know, we are certain, that it has been slaughtered correctly. Now we're not talking here about mentioning the name of Allah, we're talking about the animal being slaughtered. Whether they mention the name of Allah or not, that's a different issue that we could talk about, but that's not our discussion tonight. Our discussion is, has it even been slaughtered? Do we know that it has been slaughtered? If you're not certain about that, the written rule is that it's haram. And then the Shaykh says, but if we know that it has been slaughtered, then is what is the original ruling concerning mentioning the name of Allah? Is the original, is, what is the asl? Is that the person who slaughtered is the asl, is the original ruling that he mentioned the name of Allah? Do we assume that he mentioned the name of Allah or not? He said the asl is that he mentioned the name of Allah. And this is based on the hadith of Aisha in Bukhari, that some people came to us with some meat, and we don't know if they mentioned the name of Allah, and the Prophet ﷺ said, mention the name of Allah and eat. Okay? And the Shaykh is saying here, as far as mentioning the name of Allah, the original ruling, and that's in reference to who? The people who are mu'tabr at-tasarruf. The people who are acknowledged, it's acknowledged that these people have, yani, in their actions and in their behavior, that they do things correctly. Not some nut, but the people we expect that they act right, then we assume that they mention the name of Allah. As far as slaughtering, we gotta make sure that it has been slaughtered. Anyway, it's a long discussion. But the point that I wanted to make is that the distinction between what? Between the issue of whether or not the name of Allah has been mentioned and the issue of whether or not the animal has even been slaughtered. And, you know, we don't have time to go into detail now, but I just want to mention the summary of a fatwa of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen that is not, has not been circulated very much, but it is available for anybody who would like to. And the summary of it, the Shaykh has mentioned 5 points or 4 or 5 points. And one of the things he said must be from Ahl Kitab, that is Christians and Jews. It must be from Ahl Kitab. If you're not from Ahl Kitab, forget about it. It's not even no discussion. Second thing, it must not be from other disbelievers such as the Majus, the Magians or the fire worshippers, or Abadatul Authan, or those who worship idols, the pagan idol worshippers, and those who do not have any deen. Huh? Those who do not have any deen. Who are those? Most of the people walking around, they don't have any deen. Most of the people walking around, even though if you ask them, they say they're Christian. But if you question them, they will say, well, I don't really believe in that. I haven't been to church since I was a kid. I haven't read the Bible in 50 years. I don't believe in that stuff. These people don't have any deen. The Shaykh said clearly, you cannot eat the animals, even if they are slaughtered from these people. You cannot eat their meat. And there's some other points. Anyway, time. You know, I really didn't want to get stuck with this, but I wanted to mention it because it was related to our topic. If anybody put your name on the attendance sheet with your email written clearly and you would like the fatwa concerning this that has not been circulated, inshallah, I will send it to you by email. But you got to make your email clear and put a star next to your email so I know that I can send it to you. I know that I should send it to you. Okay, for our hadith tonight is related to the heart, believe it or not. And you know, in the last hadith, we had the hadith about what? أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا هِيَ الْقَلْبُ وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. And that hadith makes us to know that there's a piece of flesh in the body. If it is whole and sound and healthy, the whole body will be healthy. And if it's corrupted and diseased, the whole body will be diseased. Isn't it the heart? The heart, huh? And this hadith tonight takes us back to the heart again. Take us back to the heart. Where's your heart at? The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah, reported by Al-Bukhari, he said, Ta'isa abdu dinar wa dirham wal qatifa. In u'tiya radiya wa in lam yu'ta lam yarda. Destroyed, humiliated, degraded is the slave of the dinar and the dirham and the qatifa. And these are examples of worldly things, gold coins, silver coins, plush cloth, clothing and stuff like this. These are examples. The Prophet ﷺ said, he is destroyed, the slave of the worldly things. If he is given, then he's pleased. And if he's not given, then he's displeased. He will not be pleased unless he's given from the worldly things. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says, Ta'isa means halaka. وَخَابَ وَخَسِرَ. That ta'isa, the meaning of it, is the person has been destroyed. The person has failed. The person has lost. They have lost out. عَبْدُ الدِّينَارِ. The dinar, he said, is a gold coin, and the dirham is a silver coin, and the qatifa is some kind of plush cloth. And the meaning of that he is a slave of these things, he says the Prophet ﷺ explained what he means by slave, in the rest of the hadith. What does he mean by he's a slave? He means, he explained it, يعني فسره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم باللازم. He explained it, he described it, باللازم, by that which necessitates. This thing that he's going to say now necessitates, if this is so, that he must be a slave. And what is it? He said that if he is given of the worldly things, he's pleased. And if he's not given, he's not pleased. If this is a person's condition, of necessity, he must be a slave to the thing that pleases him. If he gets it, and he's displeased if he doesn't get it. Meaning, he has to have it. There's no escape. He's inseparable from it. He must have it. And that means he's willing to do anything for it. Which means that's what make him a slave to it. The Shaykh said, فَلِهَذَا صَارَ عَبْدًا لَهَا. Because his pleasure, his heart is connected to that thing. If he gets it, he's pleased. If he doesn't get it, he will never be pleased. This makes him to become a slave. Because these things have taken control over him. They became his master. He is pleased if he gets it, and he's angry if it gets away from him. So he became a slave. He became humiliated to these things, the worldly things, that he must have, that he can't do without. His heart is connected, attached to it. Have them in wedge. This is from one perspective. And from another perspective, these things, these three things, and in another narration it said four things, these things have taken control over his heart. And they have conquered him. Such that, cannot hear fikruhu wa aqluhu wa iradatuhu. Yani his thinking, and his mind, and his will. That's all it is getting these things. That's his life. So they have taken control over him. وَهَذَا هُوَ حَقِيقَةُ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ مِنْ وَجْهَيْنِ. So this is the reality of slavery from two perspectives. And they are difficult, a little bit difficult to distinguish, but the Shaykh says, again, from the first perspective, is that he has humiliated himself. He has made himself subservient to those things. And that way he's a slave. Such that his pleasure and his anger is subjected to, is subservient to, the achievement or the lack of it, of these things. So he has humiliated and made himself a slave to those things. And from the second perspective, is that those things have taken control of his heart, such that his thinking, his thoughts, his mind, his movement, he doesn't strive except to get those things. And he doesn't stop striving except for those things. Yani everything that he does is based on that. وَلَيْسَ الْمَعْنَى. And the meaning of this is not that a man sets up a gold coin and he prostrates to it. That's not what the Prophet ﷺ intended by this. But rather what he intended, what? is that when a person's heart is totally connected to something, and he's willing to give his whole life, and his everything, his thought, his mind is only connected to that, then that means he becomes a slave to it. فَفِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ From the points that's derived from this hadith, that this hadith is an evidence that whoever his concern, his ambition is only for the dunya. He is pleased if he gets it, and he's angry if it passes by him. فَإِنَّهُ خَاسِرٌ Then he is a loser. Whoever that's his condition, he is a loser. And what bears witness to this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Munafiqoon. Surah 63, Ayah 9. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْحِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ O you who believe, don't let your wealth and your children distract you from the remembrance of Allah. Turn you away from the remembrance of Allah. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ And whoever does that, then these are the losers. Your wealth, your children, your homes, your vehicles, whatever. If that distracts you from the remembrance of Allah, you have become a loser. It's Surah 63, Ayah 9, 63. Surah Al-Munafiqun, the hypocrites. He thinks that he has profited. If he gets a dinar, a gold coin or a silver coin, but it turns him away from the remembrance of Allah. But he thinks that he has profited, that he has gained. وَلَكَنَّهُ فِي الْحَقِيقَ خَاسِرٌ But in reality, he is a loser. Because Allah said, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ That whoever does that, then these are the losers. And second, in this hadith, there's also evidence. أَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يُخْرِجَ الدُّنْيَا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ تُفَاجِئَهُ مَنِيَّتُهُ حَتَّى لَا يَكُونُ عَبْدًا ذَلِيلًا لَهَا That in this hadith is an evidence that it is yambaghi, it's necessary, it's incumbent, it's expected of a person that he remove the dunya from his heart before his death suddenly overtakes him. While he is a slave, humiliated to the dunya. And I'm mentioning this ayat, the shaykh didn't mention it, but I think it's appropriate to mention here. The same surah, Surah Al-Munafiqun, the next ayat, where Allah says, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ Huh? And spend from that which we have provided you with before death comes to one of you. For it's too late. فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجْلٍ قَرِيبٍ Oh my Lord, if you would just delay me for a little bit, just extend my term a little bit, let me go back into the world a little bit. فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُنْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ Then I will give charity and I will be of the righteous. I'll do all kind of good deeds. I will make hajj and fast and a lot of stuff. It's too late then. Huh? Before death overtakes you. Get the dunya out of your heart before it's too late. And the shaykh said, وَمِنْ فَوَائِدِ الْحَدِيثِ And also from the benefits of this hadith is الْإِشَارَ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ مَنْ تَعَلَّكَ بِشَيْءٍ تَعَلُّكًا تَامًا صَارَ لَهُ مِثْلَ الْعَبْدِ That whoever, there's an indication in this hadith that whoever connects, who becomes connected to a thing with complete, perfect connection, and completely tied to it, then he became like a slave to that thing. And for this reason, we find that the lovers who are passionately in love, they are proud and they boast of being described as though they are slaves to those whom they love. وَقَالَ الشَّاعِرُ And a poet said, لَا تَدْعُنِي إِلَّا بِيَا عَبْدَهَا Don't call me except by slave of her. slave of the woman that he loves. Don't call me except by that. Huh? فَإِنَّهُ أَشْرَفُ أَسْمَائِي Because this is the most noble of my names. Slave of so-and-so. This is what the people who are passionately in love, they are proud to be called the slave of someone who they love. لِمَاذَا Because he is enjoying, it's sweet to him, it's tasty to him. That what? he be a slave to her, or she be a slave to him. وَيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And we seek refuge in Allah from such. Subhanallah. But this is the reality, that people who are in love with the dunya, they are proud of that. And they are slaves to the dunya. And from the benefits of this hadith is that it is expected, incumbent upon a person, that his pleasure be in that which is pleasing to Allah, and his anger should be in that which is displeasing to Allah. Not that his pleasure and his anger be subservient to something from the dunya. Because the dunya is passing, fleeting, faniya. So, the Shaykh says, this hadith here is from the bab of az-zuhd wal-wara. From zuhd and wara. Together, both of them is included in this hadith. لِأَنَّ the one who abandons that which is harmful to him, yani in the hereafter, that's wara. And the one who abandons that which contains no benefit in his hereafter, then that's az-zuhd. And we talked about this previously. Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Salih Ali Bassam rahimahullah, he said concerning this hadith, first, that Ta'isa Abd al-Dinar, that Ta'isa is like Fariha. The meaning of it in terms of the wazn, in terms of what? The wazn, huh? You know what wazn is? Now, he said the meaning of it is al-halak. والإثار والسقوط والانحطاط والقرب من الشر والبعد عن الخير. The ta'isa, that Allah made this dua against the person who's the slave of the dunya, he said ta'isa means al-halak, destruction, that a person stumble and fall, that they, yani suqut, they fall down, انحطاط, that they become belittled, right, go down and down, tumble. والقرب, and that they be near to evil, and that they be far from khair. What a dua. What is the condition of the person that this dua from the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is against? He said, Abd al-Dinar, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means by this, that the person becomes a slave to the dunya by seeking it, by pursuing it. His whole life is devoted to getting it. So he became like a slave to it. And this gold coin and silver coin and qatifa, these are simply examples, amthila. But it could be anything in the dunya. These are just examples. And he mentioned some other comments, but, you know, for the sake of time, inshallah, those are linguistic meanings that he gave. As far as what's derived from this hadith, the Shaykh is very brief in his explanation here concerning this hadith, but very, very important what he said here. First thing he said, al-ibadah, هي ما قصد بها وجه الله والدار الآخرة. That ibadah is that ibadah that's accepted. Is that which a person intends by doing it, the face of Allah and the home of the hereafter. If that's what a person intends in their heart, that's why they're doing it, that's real ibadah. And therefore, whoever does a deed, yani for the dunya, for the purpose of achieving some dunya, and he doesn't have any objective or goal or aim except dunya. فَهَذَا قَدْ عَبَدَ الدُّنْيَا. Then this one, he has worshipped the dunya. Like the person whose only aim, only objective, only intention is for the face of Allah in the akhirah, that's worship that's acceptable to Allah. And if a person's aim and objective and goal and intention is dunya, then they have worshipped the dunya instead of Allah. He has taken as a god besides Allah, that which his heart is connected to. So he has been destroyed, he has fallen, he has drowned in this road that he has taken. And he will not be upright, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts repentance from him. Second, he said, this person, his heart and soul, yani inwardly and outwardly, is connected to the dunya. If he is given something from it, he is pleased. And he praises, and he glorifies this fact that he has been given something from the dunya. But if he is not given, he becomes angry, dissatisfied, annoyed. Huh? وَقَدْ وَصَفَ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ بِهَاتَيْنِ الصِّفَتَيْنِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the hypocrites with these two characteristics. He has described who with them? The hypocrites. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, Surah 9, Ayah 58. وَمِنْهُمْ مَيْ يَلْمِزُكَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ That from amongst them are those who accuse or criticize the Prophet ﷺ concerning his distribution of the sadaqat. Like the way he gave it out, they didn't like it. I didn't get enough. They're not pleased with the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. فَإِنْ عُعْتُوا مِنْهَا رَضُوا If they are given from it, they are happy, they are pleased. وَإِنْ لَمْ يُعْتَوْ مِنْهَا إِذَا هُمْ يَسْخَتُونَ But if they are not given from it, then they are severely angry. They are enraged. Outraged. Now, these two descriptions of the hypocrites. And the Shaykh says, قَالَ الشَّيْخ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ السَّعَدِي فِي شَرْحِهِ عَلَى التَّوْهِيدِ Shaykh عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ السَّعَدِي, the Shaykh of Shaykh Abdullah Ali Bassam, and he's also the Shaykh of who? Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, because they were students together from Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. He said that Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di said in his explanation of Tawheed, as far as the action which is done for the dunya, means somebody does something and they get in return for it something of the dunya, some of its benefits, then there are three possible conditions. Three possible conditions. A person does something, he gets some worldly benefit from it. Number one, if his intention, the intention of the person, completely, كلها لهذا المقصد, يعني his intention is completely to get some worldly benefit, and he doesn't have any intention from it to achieve, to receive the pleasure of Allah and the home of the Akhirah, or to see the face of Allah in the next life, the reward of seeing the face of Allah and the home of the Akhirah, if he doesn't have, that's not part of his irada, his intention, his desire at all, فَهَذَا لَيْسَ لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ Then this person will not have any portion in the hereafter. Huh? The one who what? He's getting something from the world, his total intention, his heart, his will, is doing it what? Just to get some worldly benefit. He has no intention whatsoever to see the face of Allah, or to earn his reward, or to be in the paradise. It's total world, total dunya. This person has no portion in the akhirah. And this action, لا يصدر من مؤمن. It's not possible that a mu'min can do such an action. لا يصدر من مؤمن. Mu'min, he doesn't do this. يعني, that's not possible. Because the mu'min, no matter how weak he is in iman, لا بد أن يريد الله ودار الآخرة. It's necessity that there must be some desire, some intention in his action for Allah in the akhirah. A believer. There has to be something there. Even if he's da'if al-iman. He's still some iman left, you gotta be thinking about Allah a little bit. Huh? So this is not possible for the believer. The second one. The one who does an action for the face of Allah and also for some benefit of the dunya. And these two intentions are equal. Meaning he wants the dunya, but he also wants to please Allah. He's doing something for the pleasure of Allah, but he also, equally, he wants some dunya benefit. Equal. They're equal. He's wanting both of them. Yani some people want to be in the dunya and they want to be in Islam at the same time. They want to be a Muslim when they're around the Muslims, and when they're not around the Muslims, they be the kafirs. Huh? When they come to the masjid, they pray. When they go to the kafirs, they drink wine and smoke crack. Huh?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So this, even though he is a believer, وَإِنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا This one, he's still a believer though. وَإِنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا فَإِنَّهُ نَاقِسَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالتَّوْهِيدِ وَالْإِخْلَاصِ وَعَمَلُهُ نَاقِسِ لِفَقْدِهِ كَمَالَ الْإِخْلَاصِ This one, who has two intentions, one for Allah and one for the dunya, he's still a believer, but he is defective in his iman and his tawheed and his ikhlas, his sincerity is defective. And his action is defective because of the absence of complete sincerity, ikhlas for the sake of Allah. Because he doesn't have complete sincerity for the sake of Allah. Although it's there, but it's defective because he mixed it. That's the second case. And the third case is the one who does an action for Allah, لِلَّهِ وَحْدَهُ وَأَخْلَصَ فِي عَمَلِهِ إِخْلَاصًا تَأَمًا The person who does a deed for the sake of Allah alone, and his ikhlas in this action, he has pure sincerity in this action, complete and perfect sincerity. وَلَكَنَّهُ يَأْخُذْ عَلَى عَمَلِهِ جُعْلًا يَسْتَعِينُ بِهِ عَلَى الْعَمْلِ وَالدِّينِ But even though his heart is purely for the sake of Allah and doing this, for no other reason he's doing it for the sake of Allah, but he receives and he takes. For that deed that he did, he gets some reward or some wage or some allowance. Maybe he's doing something and they're paying him to do it. Like he's the imam of the masjid and they're paying him. So he leaves his work so he can be in the masjid to help the people and do that, and they give him some salary. But he's not doing it for that salary. But he's doing it for the sake of Allah. Maybe he left his job making more money than giving him the masjid. He's giving the masjid a few dollars. He was making money on the job. But he left it because he wanted to work for the sake of Allah. But he give him something, but his intention, his heart is purely for the sake of Allah alone. So he takes that and he uses it to help him in his work and in his deen. So he doesn't have to steal, he doesn't have to do different stuff. So he used that just to survive. And this is like the wage or the allowance that is given for the people who do yani a'mal al-khayr, yani people who work in charities and stuff like that. Or the mujahid, who for his fighting in jihad, he gets ghanima, some spoils of war, something, or some sustenance. Or the awqaf, the endowments that the Muslim governments, people who have been given money as endowment, a waqf, to be used for certain things. And they put that money into the masajid, and the schools, and the religious, yani, occupations, for people to teach, or to lead the prayers, or whatever. Okay? So, this one, فَهَذَا لَا يَضُرُّ أَخْذُهُ فِي إِمَانِ الْعَبْدِ وَتَوْهِيدِهِ. This doesn't harm him taking this wage or this allowance or whatever they gave him. It doesn't harm him in his iman or in his tawheed. لِكَوْنِهِ لَمْ يُرِدْ بِعَمْرِهِ الدُّنْيَا. Because this action that he did, he didn't do it for the dunya. That wasn't in his heart at all. Rather, he did it for the sake of Allah purely. وَإِنَّمَا أَرَادَ الدِّينَ وَقَصَدَ أَنْ يَكُونُ مَا حَصَلَ لَهُ مُعِينًا لَهُ الْقِيَامِ بِالدِّينِ. So he only did this for the sake of the deen of Allah. And he intended that which he received from it only to be a help for him in establishing the deen. And I wanted to mention, but I'll just refer you back to the hadith that we talked about before, مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُبَسَطَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ. And the person that wants his provisions to be expanded and his life to be extended, فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهُ. Then he should keep good ties with his relations. Here's a person, what? Who's doing a good deed for the sake of Allah, keeping ties with relations, but he's also getting something for it. He's getting what? Extension of his life and expanding of his provisions. And the Shaykh said concerning that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his wisdom, he has arranged it such that he promised the person two rewards. A reward in this world, some extra sustenance and life extension, and reward in the hereafter. In Allah's wisdom, he promised both of them. But the believer who's sadiq, who's truthful, who's doing it for the sake of Allah alone, he can get both of those rewards. And it doesn't affect him at all, because he does what he does purely for the sake of Allah, and he takes whatever he gets from it as a help to him in what? In keeping his intention purely for the sake of Allah alone. I mean, it helps him to keep himself clean and to keep himself pure and keep himself free from something else. But he keeps as his primary intention what? What he's doing for the sake of Allah alone. And Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And his commentary is also relatively brief, inshallah. So we will finish tonight. He says, this hadith is related to talib al-dunya. This hadith is what? Related to what? Talib al-dunya, seeking the dunya. Alladhi yatlub al-dunya faqat. Person who is seeking nothing but what? But the dunya alone. This hadith is in reference to that person. It's not in reference to a person who gets a little bit of dunya. But it's in reference to the person's whole life is devoted to the dunya. He doesn't want the akhirah. He does not want the akhirah. If he claims that he's a Muslim and that's his condition, then he's a munafiq. I mean, I'm saying, the Shaykh just mentioned, right, that Allah has given these two descriptions. He has described who are these two descriptions in this hadith? The munafiq. And the Shaykh also said what? That this is not possible for a believer that he be in this condition, that his whole thing is devoted to the dunya without any desire for the akhirah. It's not possible for a mu'min. That's not possible. No matter how weak an iman, he has to have something there for Allah. So this is the condition of a hypocrite whose life is totally devoted to the dunya. He doesn't want the akhirah. His only concern is the dunya. The matter of his deen is not a concern for him. But what is his concern? It is only the dunya. If he is given something from the dunya, he is pleased with Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he is pleased with the people. If they give him, he's happy. As long as you're giving him, he's happy. You don't give him, he act like you never gave him nothing before. When lam yu'ta minha, but if he's not given, then he becomes angry with Allah, displeased with Allah, and displeased with the people. هذا دينه دراهمه. This is his deen. His money. Subhanallah. Sheikh says, ta'isa means halaka. Ta'isa means what? To be destroyed. At-ta'as, the meaning of it is al-halak wa suqut, that a person be destroyed, that they fall down. And the proof of this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Muhammad, Surah 47, Ayah 8. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا تَعْسًا لَهُمْ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا تَعْسًا لَهُمْ. And those who disbelieve, تَعْسًا لَهُمْ, destruction for them. The Shaykh says, يَعْنِي حَلَاكًا, may they be destroyed. دُعَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْحَلَاكِ. This is a dua upon them, against them, that they be destroyed. As far as the عبد الدِّنَاءُ وَالدِّرْهَمْ وَالْقَطِيفَةِ, he says, why have they been named as a slave or called a slave? This is because this person has connected his heart to the dunya. So it became as though the dunya, هِيَ رَبُّهُ. Huh? He connected his heart to the dunya, so it became as though the dunya is his Rabb. So he is the abd to the dunya. He connected his heart to the dunya, so he fell into slavery to the dunya. And the sha'ir, the poet, he said, "Ata'atu matami'i fasta'badatni, walau anni qani'tu lakuntu hurran." That I have obeyed my desires and hopes, so it enslaved me. And if I had been satisfied, yani with what I had, I would have been free. Huh? If you have been satisfied with what Allah has given, you will be okay. But you're not satisfied with what Allah has given. So you want to become a slave to the dunya. The Shaykh says, so this man, could be a woman, this person, his only concern is the dunya. If he is given from the dunya, radiya wa madaha wa athna. When he's given it, alhamdulillah, he's pleased. He's praising and glorifying. He's happy. He's good to go. But if he's not given, فَإِنَّهُ يَسْخَطُ وَيَغْضَبُ. He becomes angered, displeased and angry. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning the munafiqeen. Yani Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan is saying the same thing. That this is what Allah said concerning the munafiqeen. He's saying that what the Prophet ﷺ is saying in this hadith, that the person who, if he's given from the dunya, he's pleased, and if he's not given, he's displeased. He said, this is what Allah said about the munafiqeen. This is the characters of the munafiq. وَمِنْهُمْ مَيْ يَلْمِزُكَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. That from amongst them are those who criticize you, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, concerning the sadaqat, the charities, how he distributed the money, the wealth. فَإِنْ أُعْتُوا مِنْهَا رَضُوا وَإِنْ لَمْ يُعْتَوْا مِنْهَا إِذَا هُمْ يَسْخَتُونَ. So if they are given from it, they are pleased. And if they are not given some of it, then they are displeased. This is Surah Tawbah, 9th Surah, 58 ayah. Then the Shaykh says, فَرِضَاهُمْ وَسُخْتُهُمْ مُتَعَلِّقٌ بِالْمَالِ. Yani their pleasure and their displeasure. Yani whether they are pleased or displeased is connected to what? It's connected to wealth. Wealth. That's all it's connected to. Money. And whoever becomes pleased and displeased due to wealth, هَذَا مُنَافِقٌ. This time I'm not saying it. Shaykh Salih Fawzan is saying it. الَّذِي يَرْضَى وَيَسْخُطْ لِلْمَالِ هَذَا مُنَافِقٌ. This person is a hypocrite. And he is a slave of the dinar and a slave of the dirham. قال الله تعالى, Surah Tawbah, Surah 9, Ayah 59. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ رَضُوا مَا أَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ سَيُؤْتِينَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَرَسُولُهُ إِنَّا إِلَى اللَّهِ رَاغِبُونَ وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ This is also right. It's following the ayat about the hypocrites. And Allah is saying, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ رَضُوا مَا أَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ That if only they had been pleased, content, satisfied with what Allah and His Messenger gave them. Whatever Allah and His Messenger gave them, whatever the Messenger gave them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever Allah decreed for them, if they had only been pleased with that, that would have been better for them. If they had said, Hasbunallah, Allah is sufficient for us. What Allah will give us, we're satisfied with that. Allah and His Messenger, Allah will give us from His bounty. Allah will give us from His bounty and His Messenger. Inna ilallahi raghibun. That we are, yani our hope and our desire is with Allah. We turn to Allah. That's whatever we hope for is from Allah. We're not worried about the dunya. Whatever Allah gives us, we're good with that. So this ayah is blaming the person who covets, who have great desire for the dunya. Because the human being, he does not make, he should not make his pleasure and his anger based upon the dunya. But rather he should make his anger and his pleasure for his deen and for Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yani he's angry for what angers Allah. And he's pleased with what's pleasing to Allah. As far as the dunya, if he's given something of it, he'll take it. If he's given it. And if he's not given anything from it, then he says, Allah is sufficient for me. Allah will give me from His bounty. They don't want to give you later for them. Allah is sufficient. Hasbunallah. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he used to distribute the wealth, yani from the battles or the spoils of war, whatever, he used to give dhi'af al-iman, dhi'af, ala wazn fi'al. That's for the brothers in second class, fi'al, huh? Dhi'af. He used to give those who were weak, the da'if in iman, he used to give them. And he used to try to bring close the hearts of the munafiq, so he used to give them a lot, more, because he knows their condition. And he did not used to give khiyar al-sahaba shay'a. Yani those chosen from the sahaba, those who were close to him, he didn't give them anything. Huh? He used to leave them to their deen. That's okay, they got the deen, they're alright. لِأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَغْضَبُونَ They didn't become angry if they were not given due to their iman. Huh? They didn't get angry if they were not given due to their iman. So that means that's a check on our iman. If we find ourselves becoming angry from some dunya, something wrong with our iman. They wasn't worried about that. That really wasn't the matter. That's not the point. That's not what we're here for. If they were given, they took it. If not, they're alright. So he didn't used to give them. He knew that they were alright. As far as those who were weak in iman, then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fear that they would have a relapse. That they would go backwards, back into kufr. So he used to give them in order to attract their hearts. فَهَذَا فِي وَرَعَ And this contains the point of what? وَرَعَ That a person, na'am, has some, what? They will leave something that's doubtful or something that is of no benefit or something that is harmful. They will leave it out of fear of Allah. And also that the person, it is incumbent upon a person to not tie himself, connect himself to the dunya. It's incumbent that we do not connect ourselves to the dunya and make our anger or our pleasure based upon the dunya, if we get it or don't get it. But rather, a person should tie himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as the dunya, yani for the believer, as far as the dunya, if he is given something from it, halalan. لَمْ يَتَطَلَّعْ إِلَيْهِ وَلَا يَسْأَلُهُ وَلَمْ يَسْأَلُهُ Yani, as far as the dunya, the believer, if he's given something from it, that's halal. And it's not something that he was seeking, desiring it, looking around for, hoping that he's going to get that. Nor did he ask for it. After that, then, inshallah. InshaAllah, just to close with the comments, last closing comments to the Shaykh. Here, the Shaykh is describing the condition of the believer, the person of Iman. This should be our condition. This is what a Muslim who fears Allah and of love for Allah and the deen of Allah and who wants to be in the Akhirah, in the Jannah. This is should be our condition. This might not be our condition. May Allah protect us and save us from the evil of ourselves and the evil of shaitan. But this is what we should be striving for. This is the condition that we should be like trying to identify with. That we should be saying, this is what I want to do, this is where I want to be. And we have to be honest with ourselves. That we may not be there, but that's what we want to do. That's what we want to be. That should be our desire. Just like a person who wants a brand new car, and they're working hard for that brand new car. Or they're trying to get a good job, and they're working hard to prepare for that job, some kind of way to get that job. Or to get married. Man wants to marry a woman, or a woman wants to marry a man, or whatever it is in this world that we want, that we strive for, and we make a tremendous effort in preparation and taking every means that we could use to get it, then we should be using that kind of effort and that kind of energy to be in this condition that the Shaykh is describing here. As far as the dunya, if he has given anything from it that is halal, that he is not, he doesn't have his eye on it, seeking it, and he doesn't ask for it. فَإِنَّهُ يَأْخُذُهُ وَيَسْتَعِينُ بِهِ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. Then he would take it. Yani if he is given it, he would take it. It's halal. And he didn't seek it. And he didn't ask for it. So if it's given to him, he would take it. And he will seek help through that as a means to help him in obedience to Allah. Yani he will use it to protect himself from disobedience to Allah. Or he will use it to do something that's pleasing to Allah. And if he is not given something, فَإِنَّهُ يَكْفِيهِ دِينُهُ وَتَوَكُّلُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Then his deen will be sufficient for him. And putting his trust in Allah will be sufficient for him. وَهَذَا الْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا وَأَهْلِ الدِّينِ. And this is the difference between the people of the dunya and the people of the deen. And finally the Shaykh says, وَفِيهِ الْحَثُ عَلَى الْوَرَعِ. And this hadith contains encouragement to have al-wara. That a person has a certain consciousness that they are willing and able to leave that which is doubtful, that which is harmful, that which doesn't bring them any benefit in the hereafter. A person has fear of Allah, and they leave those things, whether it's food or drink or clothing, or whatever, relationships or whatever it is. A Muslim will have wara, he will leave that. She will leave that. وَالتَّحْذِيرُ مِنْ تَعَلِّقَ الْقُلُوبِ بِالدُّنْيَا. And also, a warning against connecting the heart to this dunya and the desires or the goals or the aims or the objects of this dunya. And this hadith is encouragement for wara and a warning against allowing our hearts to be connected to the dunya. And last week in the hadith I remind us that the Prophet ﷺ said, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً. Isn't it so that in the body there is a mudgha, a piece of flesh? إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. Now if it's healthy, the whole body will be healthy. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. And if it's corrupted, diseased, the whole body will be diseased. أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. Isn't it so that it is the heart? Means that the heart has to be protected, has to be mended, has to be nourished, has to be purified, has to be strengthened, has to be fed, the things that will keep the heart strong, keep it firm, that will give it life, that will connect it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our heart be connected to our deen and not to the dunya. And if the heart is pure, the whole person will be pure. And the heart will not command you, the good, clean heart, healthy heart will not command you except to do that which is good. And if we wonder why we are doing some things, saying some things, thinking some things that we know we shouldn't be thinking, that means our heart has required some work. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question, we have a few minutes before then, about what we discussed tonight, something that is left unclear, then inshallah we'll try to clarify it. Naam. طيب. If there's no question, then the only thing that I can say is to repeat. It's incumbent upon us to reflect on ourselves and to work on improving ourselves and not be satisfied with the condition that we are in. And let that be sufficient for myself first and for all of us. Allahu musta'an. وياك. نعم. وعليكم السلام.